This recording, South Africa 49, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Pirrie was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up a kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling. Comma, comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold onto Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Now, you see, the language, it's rather an interesting question, that because we have always been interested in the English and, say, the British culture, my family. They also voted for the United Party, which was the party of General Smuts, and they linked well with the UK, and Smuts, for instance, was on the War Council during the Second World War and all that. My parents always read an English newspaper, the Cape Times, then, and even the magazine was the Outspan, and they never bought the Afrikaans equivalent like a Huisgenoot and never allowed die burger to come into our house. So the thinking was English, not perhaps, while the spoken word was not so often used, although my dad, with hindsight I know, used many little expressions which came from the English because his father, my grandfather, was English speaking. Culture-wise, the English culture was perhaps more prominent, but not so much the ability on our side on the farm to speak it, and that is why I had to be sent to a different school, to be totally immersed. I like this English language, but I also like the Afrikaans culture, and I think I'm so fortunate that I have a foot in both. The culture and the use of language in these two cultures, the use differs so largely. For instance, punning can only really be done well in English, and I enjoy that. And if it's slightly naughty, why not? But I mean, must be naughty with style. This comes from an uncle of mine who was on my mother's side. Now, he was considered to be the black sheep in the family. And he had one a rather interesting characteristic. He would bide his time. When there's where the people are playing a game. He would make as if he had no ability, and then they would invite him and say, come young, come and play, and he would lose a couple of games, you know, that kind of thing. And then when they get so excited that they start putting money on the table, then all of a sudden he would sweep everything away. Now, he was sitting in a bar in the little town of Somerset East, and there people were trying to make limericks, and Jan just sat there. Now, what we must understand, it was shortly after the war, and there were still many regulations pertaining to bread, for instance. We weren't allowed to have white bread in South Africa, and then they had another invention. The government decided to enrich the bread. They called it Bremer bread. And Jan just listened. Now, that was a background. And they all sort of said their pieces, and it sort of petered out. And then he said, you guys want a limerick? I'll make you a limerick. There was a man from Somerset East who always ate enriched vitamin yeast. Said he to Mjani, Ekwal ka a ka marakani. Said Mjani, I don't mind in the least.